With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here we go. Yeah, put your phone right up. We're good, wouldn't it? All right.
Yeah, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right.
Is that off shot?
Yeah. I'm going to bring it in shot.
Yeah, bring it in shot. I've never seen you drink a glass of milk like that before.
Like what? Out of a glass?
I've just not seen you. It's just random, isn't it? People don't just sit there and drink milk anymore. Especially when most of the population are lactose intolerant anyway. Is it cow's milk as well? Whole, not even semi-skimmed.
Yeah, it's whole. I don't fuck about.
Not even red-capped.
Red-capped's just wet water, white water.
Wet water. Water usually is wet. That's a good question, actually. It's wet.
No, because you know there's some dickhead in the comments now. It's like, actually, no, it's the elasticity of the molecules means that it coats the surface, but it never actually makes anything else. Shut up. Get some fucking mates. All right.
I'm good, man. I've had a bit of a decent week, but I'm all bored of this Euros thing, man. Just England bring it home and can start caring about United again.
So this is going out today. Obviously England are playing tonight.
Yeah.
Are we talking about that game?
Do you know what? I've said, like, England usually always flat to deceive. And people have kind of pigeonholed them in the final already. Said England versus Italy.
I did see a couple of memes today, which was because you see the flag from someone saying it's coming home and he's crossed it out, it's coming to Rome. Which is good play on words, but well played. I saw that and a couple of people have kind of sort of then made other memes around that with like head to head with England. You're like, listen, Denmark game isn't a foregone conclusion. I do believe England should be stronger, but I wouldn't also be shocked if they lost that game.
You know what it is? I've said it time and time again. It's the pressure. English pressure, especially when it comes to the national side, has been a detriment for, 55 years. And it's one of those where people kind of play the blame games with players and managers, which is true. But I think England have had decent enough players to kind of formulate a squad to challenge better than we have done. What happens is you get a long, strenuous season of the Premier League, which is where a majority of English players play. And that's been the case for years.
Well, is it not a coincidence then that some of the players that have looked good for England haven't had full seasons? Like, I know Foden's come out of the team a little bit now, but certainly hadn't played every game for City. You know, Maguire's had a tiny break before he's come into this. I know, with the injury and that, massive.
It is, but then people will argue a lot other than that, the foreign players playing the Premier League as well.
Yeah, which is true. But look at one of the people that's starred in the tournament, Jorginho. I don't think someone's probably going to pull the stats out of me, but on the top of my head, he's been rotated this season.
He has been rotated, but he has played often. I just think like international football is a completely different pace of game as well. And I think it suits him a little bit better because I've never thought he was that good at Chelsea. I think he's too pedestrian. He usually passes sideways and he struggles to get about the pitch. But for Italy, you put the likes of Verratti and Locatelli and Barella next to him, he looks like a player. I think that's what happens when
he is a player.
You play better with better players. That's just the case.
I've said this a few times. Yeah. The Premier League is intense and it's got some serious talent and some of the best players in the world play in the Premier League. But the intensity of the Premier League, I think, makes the quality of it just suffer a touch. And it's kind of like the Championship. Like, great players could get swallowed up by the Championship because of the intensity, whereas international football just seems to be a bit more one gear down and is a bit more...
And also the fact that you don't have what I'd used to call them in playing days, of session killers, session wreckers, pattern wreckers, and every team has them usually where you might have 8 or 9 quality players. Only takes one to kind of bring the level down. And it's one of those where you can have that at a Premier League level. You might have 1 or 2 players that play. They might bring other attributes and other intangibles, the American word. But they don't have the same quality level as the rest. Sometimes it just can make the quality like suffer a little bit. But my point I'm making is in international football, there's no filler.
I disagree, though, because some of these teams have got, like, your major teams, there's not a lot of filler in those. But some of the lesser teams, there's only one or two stars, quite a bit of filler in those.
But at the end of the day, it's still the creme de la creme of a nation. That is why, when I look at international football, I think the quality should be high, because it's the best of the best. Because you'll have Premier League starters that can't start for their national sides.
Yeah. But you also have people in the Premier League who are starting for their national sides who don't get games.
So are you telling me it's not always about quality and ability? Sometimes it's about politics, favourites.
Yeah, and it's all of those things. Because it's all of those things. And you've got to think as well, sometimes, like, let's say you're Luxembourg, right? You can, as Luxembourg, pick probably from about a pool of maybe 100,000 players. I don't even know if they've got that many. Maybe 20,000, right? Not a lot of people. But if Luxembourg is now Luxembourg FC, that plays in the Premier League, you've got 100 million in the bank. You don't need to pick from these players. You've got everyone to pick from. So I think a while ago, I think Joe, when international football was the pinnacle, was probably the 60s and 70s when it started to erode. Once movement of players from nation to nation probably started majorly with a big star in like Johan Cruyff maybe and Puskas moving to Spain. I think once those sorts of things happened, you got a distillation of quality at the big clubs. Your Barcelonas and Real Madrids are probably always better than national teams. United and Liverpool probably always better than England. And I think that you've got that now because you don't have to just restrict. I think international football was definitely the pinnacle when only English or British players played in England. Then the England squad would have been in relation because you're picking from the best of the best. When you're looking at the Premier League now.
Sounded EDL as hell, that.
Well, I think that's a better thing.
I know what you mean.
That's just a fact of what happens.
It's a fact of what happens is that you wouldn't have as many. The quality is better because of the foreign players.
100%. Now, conversely, I would say now is, I think the quality of English players is way higher than it probably ever has been. Certainly with a couple of the individuals, not across the board, because to get into United and City and Chelsea teams, not only are they competing with everybody in their age group as they're coming up through the ranks, they're also competing with Hungarian internationals and French internationals and German internationals and people from all over the world just to break into that team. And I said this a few years ago, to break into United's team to be an academy player, you almost have to be international level before your club level. Dylan Levitt being the prime example for that. Guy's just played he was on the bench, I guess, but he's just been in the Euro squad for Wales.
Complete facts. Harry Wilson is like a Wales or Welsh staple. He's, 24 still at Liverpool now, doesn't he?
So I mean, I think it's flipped. I think club football now is a higher standard than international football. I think international football was the pinnacle. For many people, it's still represents the pinnacle, but I don't necessarily believe it is the pinnacle. I think that's slightly skewed in terms of clubs in the last, certainly the last 30 years for sure.
Yeah, true. Do you know milk increases significantly prostate cancer risk?
What?
It does. Cool. Also usually has, it's susceptible to high levels of salmonella, E. coli. Not very digestible by the human body, especially cow's milk.
It's nice though. That's when it's ice cold. I like it.
Is it actually quite...
Right, listen.
That brings a question. That brings a good question, actually.
I like drinking milk. I like drinking Red Bull. But they're probably not either good for you.
Do you ever drink them together?
I don't think they go well.
I think you're the type of maniac that would do.
No, I don't think so.
Do you know what's actually interesting, though? How you've said that. Why is it always the best tasting things the worst for you? It's weird how that works, though.
Well, a lot of the best tasting stuff is fatty foods. The reason that they're tasty to you...
Have you ever thought why the tasty things have to be the most fattening things, have to be the most sugary things, and have to be...
I was literally about to tell you why.
No, but it's almost like being healthy. I'll get onto what I'm going to say. I'll let you explain. But it's a bit of a mad thought, but I'll let you...
Every single generation of humans up until about the 1950s when you had fridges invented, right? For every single evolutionary step of humans, there's probably been a shortage of food. So your brain has, for 200,000 years, has been rewarding you for eating the stuff that's the most fattening, the highest in calories, and all the rest of that sort of stuff.
So your taste buds have almost generationally
crave the higher salt, sugar, fat content stuff. Eating salad, I don't even know how long humans have eaten salad. Did we ever like eat salad in the wild, or did you used to eat nuts and fish and maybe the occasional bit of carbs?
It's kind of like that herbivore like that. Kind of aspect to it. And it's
But did anyone eat iceberg lettuce as a caveman? Do you know what I mean? It's a garnish. It's not a meal. Like, so that's why the tasty stuff is the stuff that now we would say is bad for you. Meat ain't bad for you. 6 pound of meat's bad for you. So, sorry, hay fever again.
It's generally about the amounts, isn't it?
Yeah, you can have anything in moderation, but you know, anything that's super size or triple XLs.
Yeah, because probably if you ate a kilo of lettuce, probably not great for you, is it?
No. I don't think there's any nutritional content in it, really. Iceberg lettuce especially.
Because we had, I remember the conversation we had about gorillas. How gorillas' diet is predominantly grass.
Yeah.
And they're jacked.
A lot of bark, though. Yeah. They eat a lot of, like, is it bamboo they eat? They eat a lot, and that's fibrous carbs.
Yeah. It's
you ain't going to look like a gorilla if you eat what gorillas eat. You do not.
Just it's a strange thing. You find out strange things about animals all the time. I remember I found out a couple of days ago that cows eat snakes.
Really? I didn't know that.
No. If you didn't know that, cows do eat snakes. They've been known to eat snakes quite a lot, actually. Why they do it, I don't know. But a lot of animals do a lot of strange things we don't know about.
Well, the first guy that milked a cow. I don't know if he told his mates for a couple of weeks. But he kept it to himself.
There's something about it that scares me.
Go and pull on that.
something about animals always scary. We don't know a lot more sentient than we give them credit for. And it's always like as time goes on and time goes by, it's like, oh, scientists have just found out that animals do this, do that. It's like, how much do we actually even know about each of them?
Not a lot, and I don't think they know anything about the bottom of the ocean. What's a crazy one is where we draw the line on the shit we'll eat. Like, do you eat horses?
No, I don't eat horses.
Some people do. Do you eat chickens?
I wonder how horse meat tastes. I mean, obviously like, on a
like
dish,
beef, I believe.
Not in that way.
But do you know what I mean? Like, if I say, do you eat lamb? Oh, yeah, eat lamb. All right. Do you eat goat?
I draw a line on seafood, not a massive seafood fan. Prawns, shrimps.
But the thing is, they're bugs. They're like cockroaches and shit. They're just
like crustaceans.
Yeah, they're just wet versions of them.
It's actually, I like seaweed. Does that count as seafood?
I don't think seaweed that we eat from like Chinese restaurants and stuff is actual seaweed.
It's pengno.
Supposedly, and someone's going to correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's, I think it's cabbage that's been dried and salted.
Yeah, it's quite well salted. I remember having it in a restaurant in Doncaster.
It's not actual
Cosmos
seaweed.
Yet. It's thought it genuinely.
Why don't you call it dried and salted cabbage? Not sexy.
It sounds fancy, innit? It sounds sexy if you're like, I'm eating seaweed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
With the whole weed element to it. But another thing that we didn't speak about in terms of football is while the whole Euro has gone on and people have been captivated by that, we've got an Argentina versus Brazil Copa America final, haven't we?
Yeah, we do, yeah. Was it Martinez last night pulling out three saves? Yeah. I'm doing some mad games as well.
Doing some mad games. He was the best.
Look at me. You're going to miss this and I'm going to be cheering. You know this, don't you? Or some words to those effects.
Nice, like, something like that.
You're going to miss.
Martinez was statistically the best keeper in the Premier League last season as well.
In terms of save percentage?
Save percentage, literally everything. I remember doing a bit of data on FB Ref. He had an incredible season. Expected goals against was a lot higher. He had some of the most clean sheets as well. And that's in front of, that's behind Tyrone Mings.
I remember seeing somebody. There was a big gap in terms of percentage. Like,
he was incredible, and Arsenal just let him go for Leno. But we've got an Argentina-Brazil final. That would be good. Messi is an opportunity to finally get some silverware.
I think they're going to do it
internationally.
I think Argentina are going
to
do it.
And obviously, from what I said to you before, the Argentina, he might get thingy celebrating in his bunker. Hitler.
Look, if Hitler went to Argentina, he's definitely dead now. That shit was 75 years ago or something, whatever it was.
Do you know what? But I always did believe that he was alive. A lot of people, but I think that's a common conspiracy. That's not like outlandish. He was just defaked to suicide. He ended up in Argentina.
Here's what's factual: a lot of Nazis emigrated to Argentina.
Yeah, because they were strong allies for him since the 1870s. It's one of that's predominantly why they thought that happened, isn't it? But
have you seen Nazi Hunter? That like I think Tim Kennedy does it. The UFC fighter. It's on like History or something. They go around and they're checking out, and there's like towns in Argentina where people are dressing like it's Munich. Like they're wearing like Lederhosen and speaking German. Mm. And what a mad little quirk that is.
Crazy that.
Look, either way, if Hitler did bounce down there, and I'm not sure he did, I think he fucking iced himself in his bunker, right?
It's a, nah, it's a lot of
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
You don't know. There's a lot of similarities between like the way he went and. What's his name again? The terrorist. The most famous one.
Guy Fawkes.
So Guy Fawkes is also a terrorist, I know.
Or is he a freedom fighter?
How can I not remember? Bin Laden. It's like the same thing that did Bin Laden die, did he not? It's always like, oh, we rushed him in a bunker, he either killed himself or we shot him, but you're actually not going to ever see his body.
No, but I think that's realistic at least. Just not knowing that, like, okay,
I'm always a skeptic.
I know how some of these, like, these knocks go down, these arrest, capture, kill ones. Like, they're probably not straightforward in terms of how they go down.
And I think, SAS.
Yeah, obviously, I was in Special Forces, a lot of my mates and some of my colleagues and bosses have been. And
they're just built differently.
just speaking to them about some stuff. Like it's a real common thing in like Middle Eastern culture to have like music play on. We call them the jingly wagons. Joe, they have all like beads and like mirrored sort of decorations all over the cabs and stuff like that, and the little trucks that they drive. And one of my bosses said he was on a knock. It's like 3 a.m. I think he was in Baghdad. He said, "We're looking at this thing through MVG. There's a serious high value terrorist. Joe, one of the guys that was on the deck of cards." Yeah. Just after the invasion in 2003, he said, it's an SAS thing. It's a kind of black something or other was the thing. It was an SAS op. And he said, they've gone, they're observing this house. And he goes, they're just going to blow the fucking gates off this compound. And there's a truck in the way. So like, right, let's go up. Just get the fucking truck out of the way. And he said, they went up, they hotwired the truck. They put it in reverse. He said, and as they put it in reverse, all this fucking music just starts, like, your proper fucking local music just starts playing really fucking loud on the thing. And they're like, fucking hell. He goes, next week, you know, he goes to fucking, they wake up in the house. He goes, just start fucking, he goes, he just goes off. He's just like, fucking absolutely bananas gunfight.
Oh, my days. Stories like that, like real life Call of Duty. It's absolute insanity. I always thought to myself, being in, not even, be even in your situation, I don't think I could do frontline stuff. Like, I got a lot of respect for that kind of thing because a large majority of the public probably won't last a day or two. Maybe some people go there with that mentality, but then they get kind of acclimatised to it. They kind of get
bedded in. I think you'd be surprised. I think you get trained to do it. So, like, imagine playing football, training football and never getting to play a game. People want to... The large sort of percentage of soldiers want to go. Now, some people are made for it, some people aren't made for it, some people are never going to know until they go. I think people join the armed forces, all branches, for different reasons. And just like everyone's different in every way, in the different roles and jobs that they do in regular life, I think there's the reasons and the roles and everything that people join up to the military for are very varied and very different as the people that are taking them jobs. I don't think you can... There's certainly stereotypes. Stereotypes exist for a reason. There's a large amount of truth to some stereotypes, and there's certainly... large percentage of stereotypes of people it's, who join the forces.
It's true. I remember having a discussion like that when in a degree on stereotypes, whether it's got a negative perception or a positive one, why they came about. Because obviously people link stereotypes and prejudice together, but realistically stereotypes are brought about to make stuff seem simpler, and it's just natural human nature to try and simplify things.
Everyone wants to pigeonhole
to categorise
everything, because it's easier. Yeah. You can go good, bad. And then you don't have to think about it. Whereas if there's shades of grey of things, sometimes good, sometimes bad, that's hard for you to...
This was a genuine debate that we actually had to have. It's quite... There's no answer to it. Like, is stereotypes bad? Is it good? You can kind of see the premise of how it came about, how people developed, or to think, or putting stuff into categories makes stuff a little bit easier when you come to understanding, or you're coming across different people, different cultures, different things. But then people have kind of went down the progressive route of just making it predominantly prejudiced and discriminative and that kind of thing. But realistically, it's stereotypes are there for good and bad. It's just no straight answer to it. But
the, something the reasons that they exist, like you said, is just for ease of processing. So people want to be able to process things quickly, because taking a large amount of time to learn everything about every single person individual, you encounter is just not going to happen, is it? Like, if I said to you, bus drivers, you're going to go, wankers. Right? Probably not the case.
When you mean bus drivers, you think about
people. Cyclists, wankers. You know what I mean? It's everyone who drives a different mode of transport to you is a dick. So you've stereotyped and prejudiced them. It's not correct.
It's true. What is with bus drivers and pulling out? They pull out, they indicate and just pull out straight away, regardless if people are coming.
It's because they're in a bigger vehicle than you, and that's it.
No, but I've never understood
that. So many times I've been overtaking one and they've just started pulling out, and you're like, right, now I'm in the shit because I had enough time to get round you while you was parked up.
Is it just ignorance, or is the fact that this isn't my car, I've got places to go, I'm in a big thing, so anything that's going to happen, you're going to be the worst of it.
I think, yeah, all three. I think it was all of them.
Nice. Yeah. That is. But what was you saying about the stereotypes of the army people?
I think as much as they exist, you'll also be surprised by some of the people and the backgrounds that they come from and the reasons for joining and stuff like that. Because I know I was. There's a lot of Commonwealth soldiers that join. And, you know, you speak to, like, Gurkha soldiers and see what they have to go through to join. And even what some of the people that have joined from South Africa and Zimbabwe and places like that, and what they've had to do to join. And there was a lot of Caribbean soldiers and people from Fiji. And, like, their reasoning behind joining, the things that they want to go into and all the rest of that, just spending time and speaking to people from different culture. I got on with Fijians because we play rugby.
Mm.
Big rugby culture in Fiji. Big drinking culture in Fiji. Get on like a fucking house on fire. So chilling. And I think it's really interesting just being exposed and finding out that sort of stuff. But like I said, there's some stereotypes that people will think of typical Little Englander squaddy. They exist for a reason, because those people are in there.
Mm-hmm.
As are, like you just mentioned, special forces, built different. Yeah, some are. Some of them are fucking idiots still. There's idiots everywhere.
No, it's true.
For every cross-section of society, now it might be bigger, there might be more idiots become bus drivers than fucking SAS troopers as a percentage, but trust me, there's fucking idiots in everything. In everything.
No, definitely.
There's people that have become a fucking TAC helicopter pilots, fucking weapons. And there's some that are great people that you would fucking trust your life to. But it's just, you know, it's people, innit?
When I said built different, I just meant usually you got to be a little bit of a maniac. As in, I'm not saying the person that becomes the SAS soldier. I'm talking about the eventual SAS soldier would be built different. Not obviously as a normal person wanting to train and get there. I'm talking about someone that's been an SAS soldier for 10, 15 years.
Well, Joe, I'll answer this a bit broader.
And they come back into because I've seen it where I've seen, you know, the thing that they do on ITV? Was it on ITV?
Yeah. My boss is in that.
A guy literally said, and it was a little piece on when Tony Bellew was on it, because Tony Bellew went from fighting all his life to stepping away from it. And then he had a difficult adjustment period in terms of his mentality. So he was lashing out at people. He had he was carrying this kind of aggression that he couldn't, because what happened was Tony Bellew probably had a lot of his early years before he became a professional boxer, a lot of anger issues, a lot of aggression. He was able, to channel it into boxing. And now that it's come away from that, it's resurfaced again. And the SAS soldier was basically saying to him, I went from being like a maniac, going through the like most brutal terrains and doing brutal fights, like proper hand-to-hand aggressive shit. I've gone back into normal life. And he found him, he was in prison in 6 months. Hitchy said, that typical road rage that we spoke about. He said he was literally driving along, someone's pulled up on him. He said something about road rage. He's like, he's fucked the guy up. Like to proper GBH stuff. And he said he literally blanked out didn't know what was happening until he was in cuffs. And he's saying it's, he didn't think he would have reacted like that if it was for what he had become in being like an SS soldier for 20, 10, 15 years, where all of that stuff was kind of channeled in a different way.
But you're also encouraged and trained to be hyper-aggressive. So we came back from Afghanistan, my first tour, first night out with the lads, and got sambuca off my box, had a good night. And it was the weekend that the clocks change over. I think it was... They go back. So where somewhere, I think Subway should have been open. Madness, right? Subway should have been open, but it had closed because of the clocks coming back. So we couldn't get something to eat. If we'd have, do you know what? If that had been open, I'd have sat down and I got something to eat and it'd have been sound. Anyway, the next 5 minutes cost me 10 grand, right? So I run up, caught my mates. Some guy was crossing a road. And it was one of my mates that had been out, but we hadn't managed to chat. And there's another one of mates who was part of Pathfinder Platoon, which is the Parachute Regiment's advanced recce platoon. And he'd had a fucking rough tour, real rough tour. And we was chatting, and he goes, "You're going back?" And I was like, "Fucking back at Christmas." This is fucking October or whenever it is. And I'm back at Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Fucking back at Christmas." And he went, "Fucking hell." He goes, he was mentioning what he had to do, and then he's like, "I think I'm going back in like April or something like that." Because it was just relentless. And some guy's crossing the road in front of us. He goes, "Fucking squaddies." We're both like, "What?" And he called me a murdering scumbag. We didn't get scumbag out of his mouth because I'd fucking levered him. And he went down, and I kicked him, and I shouldn't have. And there was another guy on the other side of him, and he looked at me. And I assumed he's with him. Now, if you've just twatted my mate, you're having it, right? Mm. So in my head, I've gone... Just get the first one in. So I've one hammered him as well.
And you had nothing to do with him. Just innocent bystander.
Well, I didn't know that until he went to court. It was a bad read. As the guy was like, I was just walking home. I saw one man assault another man and he punched me. And I was like, oh, I thought you were together.
Did that hold up in court? Oh, just, you know
no,
what?
No, it didn't. I just
thought it was his mate.
I got a 300 hours community service and I was fined fucking, I think it was a £6,000 fine and a £3,000 fine. And I had to pay, I had 9 hearings, I had £300 a hearing, it cost me a fortune. And I only just kept my job in the army because I got 300 hours community service. Because if I'd have been given any other sentence, like any custodial, even a suspended sentence, they'd have kicked me out for it. But there's a couple of things at play there. One is the hyper-aggression, act first, we'll fucking deal with it later, is ingrained into...
Just eliminate.
There's zero decompression from coming back from... operational fucking tours and combat to just go on the piss, lads, in a bit, don't get arrested. Now, someone did the stats, and I spoke to... I'm doing therapy at the moment. And my therapy is in military therapy, and the conversation I have with her is really interesting because she's got the data. So we'll talk about some stuff, and it's really weird. It's not like proper shrinky stuff.
She just knows Steelers data.
And she's got the data for like the percentage of combat troops that have been in trouble with the police within like the first month of coming back. It's fucking insane. It's so mental that you're like...
It's like a brain rewiring, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not real.
Mm. That's basically what the guy was saying to Tony. He was like saying,
coming back here, it's like the volume's just been turned off. From this is being alive... This is just some Sims shit with the volume down. It's weird. But yeah, there's the being able to react, being encouraged to be hyper fucking aggressive when you do react, that doesn't wash in civilian life. And I think the government has a duty to look after veterans a fucking lot better. Now, after that tour, they started decompressing us in Cyprus.
It seems like they've almost... microwaved you almost. Took you out.
Threw us out in the fucking
just
kitchen.
Just threw you out and just like said...
Don't touch it, it's hot.
Exactly it. It's the perfect analogy.
But someone's going to touch us and burn themselves. Yeah, it's... I don't know what you do.
We train these killers and then to escape.
I mean, Americans do 12 to 15 month long tours. I don't know what is left of the person that went on that tour from that. 4 to 6 month tours are pretty rough.
Do they deal with their kind of veterans a little bit better than the British?
Probably spend more.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're doing it any better. I don't know. I know that... So Oh, fuck it, we'll say it. So, when I've had a few things go a bit west last few months where I've had to take the therapy. It was encouraged for a while and I just said no, I didn't want to fucking do it. I'm about...
Was that the toxic masculinity element?
No. It's about five or six weeks into it. No, it's longer than that. Yeah, I've been doing it for a bit. They said to me, you've got a couple of options. You can go through the NHS and you get to jump the queue because you're a veteran. That's one of the perks of being a veteran is you don't have waiting times, especially for mental health type related shit. So you get to jump the queue in this instance. Or the other thing is you can go through the Military Veterans Society, which is what I have gone through, and you don't get to jump the queue. Then I did an assessment and she says, right, while we were waiting for the test on the assessment, she said, look, it's going to take you 9 months to be able to speak to someone here. Like, are you going to be all right? I was like, yeah, I'm going to be all right. It'll be fine. And then my assessment results came back and I started therapy the next week. And I was like, what was in that assessment? Why have I jumped the queue in a place that you told me I wasn't allowed to jump the queue?
Because...
So that's been in my mind a little bit, like...
Oh, you thought from the assessment you found something up
to Yeah, like... They told me, this is going to be 9 months before you get a regular appointment. Mm. And I have a regular appointment every week now. And I was like, what did they find in that fucking assessment that's made me jump the queue?
And
so that has been playing on my mind.
Is that not something you could ask, though? As an ease of mind? Or is it one of them where
maybe
sometimes ignorance is bliss? Even though...
Yeah, because you only go, yeah, we went, you're fucking Fruit Loop, mate. No. Oh. Sound.
Do you know what? Makes you feel better. I think we're all Fruit Loops in our own way.
Yeah, I think we are.
Definitely feel like I have Fruit Loop moments, but...
Oh, you do? So, you definitely
do? I do, but I just think it's... You know what it is? It's just people being so used to normality, innit? Anything slightly a bit different.
What's normal?
Exactly.
Is fucking going grinding at some fucking... Like, I was a quantity surveyor before I ended up doing YouTube. Like, but I hated it. I don't think that job was as fucking good for my mental health as the military was. I hated everything about myself and that job. It fucking, like, it did shit. 5 years of just fucking arguing with people about... quantity surveying, basically, different trades will have different things. I was part of a scaffolding company that had quantity surveying. So the lads on the tools would go and build some scaffolding, 100 metres long, maybe 4 lifts high. And I'd fucking, at the end of the month, I'd go measure how much we'd done, and then I'd bill the client and say, right, yo, it was this much for the amount of scaffolding that we'd built.
And you just...
And then they'd be like, well, I measured it, you only done 98 metres, and you're like, fucking hell.
This is what I mean.
Shut up, you dick.
That's why you go back to that cliche thing, isn't it, of just in life, you just always got to try and do what you want to do.
Yeah, I fell into that.
That's,
I mean, I fell into
basically
this.
Basically it, really.
But I like this. And I fell into that.
But didn't like it.
Yeah, because I left the army and I did a bit of TV installation stuff. And that business went tits up. So I was unemployed for like 3 months. Your fucking self-esteem takes a fucking kicking, doesn't it? When you're unemployed. And
yeah,
I didn't sign on. Because I just, maybe it was a toxic masculinity thing. Didn't want to do it. So I didn't sign on. And I eventually got a job working as a labourer, a scaffolding company. I did a bit of time as a labourer there and they was like, look, you're probably a bit more switched on than you need to be just to be a labourer. We're doing a course, quantity surveyor, junior quantity surveyor thing. We'll send you to uni. You can be a quantity surveyor. And I was like, okay. I had no idea what that job was. So I interviewed for it and got it. Started going to uni, started doing the job, ended up doing it for like 4 or 5 years. But it was one of them where you're like, I'm in this lane now. Can I fucking get in that lane? I don't like this lane. But, you know, I'm paying my fucking rent. I'm looking after my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a car that I'm maintaining. How do I unplug, take a risk, and go somewhere else? Because I ain't got a load of qualifications.
It's true, though, because...
Qualifications you get in the army don't really translate, unless you do, like, you know, engineers and do, like, things that are actually trades.
Because as a percentage, how many people do you think are actually doing something in life that they actually enjoy or want to do? Or are they just doing it for the fact that it's...
So
helping, it's putting money in their pockets, it's feeding their families. What
is it normal just, to get up every day to do some shit you hate with people that you don't fucking like?
Is that, have you watched Black Mirror?
Sensational.
I watched a couple of the episodes. I remember watching, I can't remember what episode it was, it's the guy from Get Out as well, the leader actor on that. And it was, kind of the analogy they used for that episode was, it was a group of people in like a, just, I don't know if it was like a shuttle kind of thing, kind of spacey, sci-fi is kind of electronic installment where you just got a bed and you wake up and you just ride a bike. That's all you do, all day, 9 to 5, like, and then you go back. But to ride a bike, you accumulate how fast you do it and how much you do it. You accumulate points, or points that equate to kind of like finances to feed yourself. And then it's basically just that every single day. And I think they were trying to basically say, forget me if I'm wrong, I can only vaguely remember the episode, is that what normal life is like for some people in terms of you get up, you do something that you necessarily don't want to do with slave labour, and you just repetitive and again, and you go to sleep. And it's just, it was, I've watched that episode, I think that is actually so true. I like the kind of the angle that they took on it. I can't remember, I'm trying to explain more. I think you could go have a look. I'm going to have a look after this, because I feel like I'd want to watch that episode again. It's been a few years, actually. And
is it Charlie, what's called him? Charlie Brooker.
Yeah, Charlie Brooker.
Someone needs to sit him down and talk to him. Because
His brain, but I was like he's fitted that perfectly. It's just you get up every day. Everyone's riding a bike. It's like a room, almost like a spin bike room. Like about 50 people just riding along. You accumulate the points. The amount of points you get means that certain value, and then, but the thing is, it's about the working class rather than the elites, because it's, the elites don't do it. The elites almost oversee it almost. So that's the added element of it. So it's like if you get enough points,
oh, you can be,
you can leave the settlement and then you can go out into the world, which is where the elites live, and that's what happens at the end. And that's kind of obviously a bit of a spoiler, but
there's definitely something in this in terms of like finding something like you. The people that are the happiest are the people that are doing shit that they want to be doing.
But they might find happiness in the fact that it's, they can help their family, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's a bit deep, and it's just the way the working world is, working life, capitalism.
There was a guy,
you know, don't get into all that. I'm pretty sure that it's just a cycle, isn't it? It's like a, it's a carousel, isn't it? It's like a political carousel.
Right, fuck it. There's a guy that I knew when I was growing up,
and
he was a brilliant rugby player. He's called Chris Smith, right? He ended up going out with Danny Minogue, Joe Carlin's sister.
Yeah, I know Danny Minogue.
Right, yeah.
Australian.
He did well for himself, should we say. So Chris was a good enough player to be a professional rugby player, but he wouldn't play professional rugby because he worked with disabled kids and he loved his job, like loved his job.
Yeah.
Loved what he got out of working with those kids. And kept refusing professional contracts. And I remember at the time going, I don't know if I'd ever love a job that much that I would be turning down. Like, this is what we're here for, man. Like,
That's crazy, that. It's Danny Minogue.
I mean, yeah, aside from that. But yeah, I mean, what a fucking lad he
what
was.
What a fucking and, lad that he had such a passion and love for working with disabled kids, and he probably had such a connection to the kids that he was working with. And he probably felt a little bit uplifted in the help he was doing. Like, he'd turned down the route of being a professional sportsman and earning more money. And it's
where we come from, being a professional athlete is like 1 to 10 on the shit I want to do list. Yeah, it is.
It is for a lot of men or a lot of
working class Mancunians like me and you. Mm. Like, was you ever fucking given the rundown on what the stock market is as a kid?
No.
Nope. I still don't know what that is.
Get given a ball and outside.
Did you get told about, I don't know, wealth management funding or, you know, high...
You mean the things they should teach in school?
Yeah, if I think of working in a bank, I think the guy behind the till, where you pay your money in. I don't think of the people that are doing, you know, multi-trillion dollar fucking transactions and making percentages on that, or, you know, proper private investment banking. Mm. That's what... These are the fuckers that broke the world... Those doors aren't available for me and you. I didn't even know them jobs existed till a few years ago.
They aren't, because it is different worlds almost. It's like we said, isn't it? It's like a class to their own, isn't it? It's like a different race.
How many fucking careers are available to... What school did you go, Loretto?
Loretto.
Right, so how many fucking careers are available to fucking kids coming out of Loretto? Realistically. Now, if you're talking pure, let's stereotype it.
Jail.
It's probably a percentage.
It's the state school element, but it's like what you've said. It's different worlds for different people.
Right. Everyone
like
I went to
you
school
go to
with,
Hale, you go to Cheshire, you go to Old Edge, you go to Bowdoin, you go
different
to
careers.
Wimslow. You look at you spend 20 minutes in those areas, And you're looking around thinking,
it's a Fiat Grand car.
This life that these are living is so foreign to me. We might live in the same city, but we're in complete two different worlds. Yeah. It's crazy, right. And it's like...
Well, so yeah. The careers that people I went to school with, I'm sure this is going to match up with you, right? I knew some lads who did well, they're electricians. Some lads who did well, they work in various different bits of construction.
Yeah.
I know people who maybe now they own a company, maybe a small little contracting firm for both scaffolding, for carpentry, for roofing, maybe they fit windows. They do manual shit like that. Those were the careers. And then I know a couple of people who ended up working at the council or doing things like that. I don't know anyone that invented anything. I don't know anyone. I think it was a guy that was in Game of Thrones that was at my school. But outside of him, like, I don't know anyone who's gone and there has been a couple of athletes, but everyone's just doing real, ordinary, everyday shit. Like, no one's gone... certainly no one that I went to school with is an investment banker.
Are you referring to anomalies, though? Are you referring to...
Are
you making the case that when it comes to class, the class system, and you've got working class, middle class, and upper class, the jobs you're referring to would majority, well, most of the time, be kids that were upper class upbringing that have become investment bankers?
But why is that?
Or rather than
work? Well, look at government and look at all of the fucking, like, all of the COVID relief money. Where that went
all
to.
All the MPs.
All of the MPs. Where did all the MPs go? Certainly the Tory ones. All went to fucking Eton or Harrow or somewhere like that.
But you know what it is? It's not that working class can't get to those jobs or can't become obviously successful in those areas. It just means that the road is a lot longer and there's a few more obstacles. It's not impossible. Nothing ever is. But it's just, it is kind of filtered that way where it seems that
Look at Boris. Right?
Yeah.
What has he ever done? He was an editor for The Spectator, I believe. Is that right? Which is like some weird fucking slightly right-wing sort of newspaper, I guess, or magazine, right? He had a column in fucking GQ.
Has he got an autobiography?
Probably.
Like, I think it'd be interesting.
He was the mayor of London. But based on what? He got all of these because he went to Eton. Because his family's wedged.
Money talks, doesn't it?
It fucking does, it's a madness.
Nah, but it's the same way I was. My history teacher, Mr. Zafar, knows his shit. Obviously, you've got to know your shit to be a history teacher. He used to tell us from year 8, year 9 time, he said, don't ever think the government rules or runs the country or the people in charge. The people that run and rule the country are the biggest and richest corporations and institutions in the country because the government will do what they want them to do.
Because they keep people in work.
Because that's what... Because at the end of the day, it's money above all, isn't it? That's just the bottom line.
Think about Jeff Bezos, right? Yeah. If Jeff Bezos was like, I think you lot should all do this, or I'm going to not maybe sell my products in I'm going to unplug Amazon from the UK. How quickly would what he wanted get enacted? Depending on what it was, obviously.
Pretty abruptly. That's the point I'm making, like... Because the richest people are the ones that control the country.
Yeah.
It's not obviously through them, but it's through their kind of wants and needs being beneficial to the government and the way that the kind of the country will work or the way that it'll be run. And that is why, but we are basically describing capitalism. That's basically what it is. And that's why when you talk about stuff like equality, I remember there's like this quote saying that equality is just a chimera. That's the word, which is, it's something that you can strive towards, but it's fantasy almost in terms of it will never, nothing will ever be completely equal. You can get closer to it, but it's actually impossible for the way that it's gone on, like for years and years, generations upon generations, that's how the world's worked. It's impossible for it to change overnight. It's almost impossible for it to change even over a longer period of time. And it's just, the way things are, and that's why I think when people complain and kind of strive for change, it's very, very good. Like, it's obviously a good thing. But sometimes I always have that negative thought. It sounds a little bit defeatist where you can probably see change, but will you see it in your lifetime? Or will you just be benefiting possible change in future lifetimes?
Who was sort of running Britain in the Victorian times, yeah, fucking landowning Tories.
Yeah.
It's 2021, right? There might be different shit on telly, and there might be tellies, but ultimately it's landowning Tories that still fucking say what's happening. You know, and when it comes to wars and shit, it's fucking Boris's kids going. The royals always said, yeah, royals, right? And sometimes they'll get their hands dirty like Harry did. Harry was with my squadron. Not when I was there, but he was with my squadron. And apparently he's sound, which I can believe, because it looks like he's got that desire to go and get stuck into stuff. And I thought all of the stuff that he came out and said about the press, I find it interesting that the press decided to go and attack his missus. And there might be racial reasons for that. I think there's definitely some racial connotations to that. But I think that they hammered the press because they couldn't necessarily hammer him. And they hammered his missus because they still can't necessarily hammer him. And even though they have done, when you see that throughout his entire career, anytime he comes on camera, there's a couple of clips going around. One of them, can we get a quote? And he's like, no. You know, he doesn't want to talk to the press. So anytime that he gets the opportunity to, he says, I think the press killed my mum. Think about how old he was when he lost his mum. And think about the emotions that he must have to the paparazzi and stuff like that. And now he's seeing everything that his mum went through for his own kid and his own missus. No wonder he don't want to fucking deal with them. And you got that fucking absolute choppers like Piers Morgan fucking pontificating on the fact that I honestly don't think he gives a fuck whether he's called whatever royal titles fucking appointed to him. At the end of the day, he's a guy.
Piers acted as if he was, he was blood related to the royal family as well. He was that impassioned by it. It's very strange to me. Obviously, you know my thoughts on royal family. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of
him. I'm never a big fan of him. I did call him reptilian. That was the day with that element. But
for me, Prince Harry's a guy with a kid and a wife who's been born into this fucking carnage, didn't ask for it. And he's trying to fucking make the best of a bad deal. Has bounced off to America. People are complaining, they've got a podcast, I think, haven't they, or some shit like that. People are kicking off about that. Well, at the end of the day, if he's rejected all the money that he was getting from the royal family, he's still got to fucking eat. You know what I mean?
He's basically cut his funds. What's he meant to do?
He gave his titles back, didn't he? Which I assume means whatever wages he was getting. Because I think they get paid for being royals, or at least they get allowances or whatever. Guy's still got to fucking eat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's still an expectation of he can't be turning up in a fucking 12-year-old fucking Vauxhall, can he? You know what I mean? He's still going to have to be a fucking.
He's got to live to a certain means. Yeah. The royal family, we're all cannibalistic anyway.
Go on then. We're just uploading this just prior to England.
They are very cannibalistic, though, aren't they?
I have no idea.
We not heard about all that? The Canadian school kids that went and visited the Buckingham Palace royal family never returned. The fact that they eat kids because a certain drug in it, what's it called? Adrenochrome. Have you heard of it?
Fuck? I was going to wrap this up. We can't wrap this up here. Let's throw an allegedly.
I thought an allegedly. Believe the word, it's a drug that apparently the elites use or that they need in terms of to keep the fact that they never get ill and never get cancer. And apparently they get that through the blood of kids. And that is why. That is why they traffic them, and that's why they eat them, and that's why they got this cannibalistic element to him. Now, I remember a Daylight, he's called Daylight Rapper, and he kind of did a podcast on it. I've seen multiple stuff on it, I've looked on YouTube. Might be true, might be not, sounds interesting, could be feasible.
I did see that there was a Canadian school, which I think was an indigenous, a lot of indigenous kids was taken from their parents. Because there was the only way we'll get the Indian, as they used to call them, out of these kids is to raise them like white kids.
Yeah.
And I think there was even 2,500 fucking graves found at a school, a Catholic school in Canada somewhere. Horrific shit. I know that's what they did with Aboriginal families as well in Australia. It's in fucking sane.
It is crazy though when it comes to all that stuff about the Aboriginals and natives.
Not in our lifetime, I guess, but at least in my grandparents' lifetime, this was what people were fucking doing to other people.
Eradicated them.
Bananas. It's absolutely fucking bananas. Well, yeah. All right, let's finish it on a football topic.
Oh, yeah.
England against Denmark.
I had a few more questions for us. We can save it for a future time, can we?
Good, then, yeah. So let's talk about England-Denmark tonight. I'm not expecting any changes from Southgate in a massive way. I think he'll set up. I'll give him this, actually. I've been impressed with how they've managed to make every game look easy. they've not really been troubled. The amount of clean sheets they've kept is actually fucking impressive, I will say. I think that probably goes tonight. I can see a 2-1 win for England.
I also see a 2-1 win. I was going to go. It seems like a pretty boring scoreline. But I think England have been extremely good defensively. And I looked at XG and expected goals and expected goals against. England are sky high in that. In fact, Spain apparently the best. Italy are probably a little bit better than England as well. I think it looks better.
Germany game skewed it, didn't it? Because that was such an even game.
Yeah, I think the stats on England look a little bit better than they are, I think. But I don't know, man. I always struggle to put all my faith and belief in England. I just feel like they're just always built up to disappoint you. And that's probably why I've got such a... My fandom is 100% United. When England are playing, if England are playing Denmark, I'm not going to go into it wanting Denmark to win. It's England. I'd rather England win. But
yeah, I'm echoing that. I'm exactly the same. Like I would like England to win tonight. I think it'd be beneficial for everything going on in the country.
Yeah, and it means we can go on the last run.
Potentially, yeah. But I'm not. I don't feel it, and let's say it's an authentic fucking emotion. It's not like I'm just going. I'm going to sulk here. I don't sulk. I enjoy the games, but it's not. You know, just because I'm fucking English doesn't mean I have to support the England national team. And I don't.
I think it's more for the kind of patriotic EDL maniacs. I think it's just a few things that I've seen around the England national team over the past few years.
Don't go down well on the Five Channel when I'm on the watch-alongs.
Yeah. That doesn't go with me, innit? I remember a few people calling up, I don't know if it was TalkSport or something else, a year ago in the World Cup because of the amount of non-white players for the team. Like, people were actually openly, namely, ringing up and stating that they weren't supporting this England team because it didn't represent them. So,
so does that mean there's no Asians in the team at the moment? Does that mean any Asian-born English people can't support the England team? What the fuck?
I don't know. There's literally people phoning up and saying, I don't like this England team.
You've got any blonde players in there? Because so if you're not blonde, you can't.
This team doesn't represent me. He said, just look at them. And phone then they were trying to get out of him. They tried to get out of him, like, what are you actually trying to say, mate? And he's like,
I think you need to actually ask that.
Yeah.
You can't insinuate that. You need to be like, what are you saying here?
What you're saying is basically in a roundabout way of saying,
fucking hell.
Not enough people on the team that look like me and my family. That's basically what he was saying in a World Cup. And I think it won't be said now, but there's just always going to be that connotation around England. It's because of where England's come from historically, and it with the likes of John Barnes and who's I can't believe it. You'll know. What? First black player, Viv Anderson. And it's just a slow journey. It's that goes back to what I said before.
Yeah, that was only in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. It goes back to what I said before. Things take extremely a long amount of time when it's been set a certain precedent for generations. And that's why I always said, like, you can strive for equality and that kind of even-keeled view on people, but there's always going to be bad apples, and I don't think it's ever going to be one of them where you can get to a complete straight line, but hopefully I'm wrong. Probably not in my lifetime anyway. I've lost all hope in this world, but we'll have to see, but hopefully England get through.
I spoke to Vivian Anderson about that. Did a podcast with him talking about being England's first black player. They said it was him and someone else at the time. Is it Laurie Cunningham? I want to say Laurie Cunningham. I could be wrong on that. And he said, basically, we was both kind of in and around the squad at the time. And he was like, well, it's going to be me or it's going to be him.
Not going to be both.
he never actually said that. Well, I never thought like that. But yeah, he goes, it's going to be one of us, isn't it? So, and then he goes, obviously it was him. He goes, it could have just easily been him. And he goes, I think he said he's got some pride about it. He goes, I'll have to dig it out.
Yeah.
He's a good bloke though, Viv. He's a good bloke. And one of Fergie's first signings, if not his first signing, actually, at United. Mm. And he played for... we went and did a podcast with him. After the podcast, he was like, yeah, I'm going around to Roy Keane's. Just, like, hang out. Fucking hell, that's cool, isn't it? Like, you've played for Brian Clough, won the European Cup, played for Fergie, mates with Roy Keane, first black player to play for England. Why isn't he on fucking camera at the moment? Because what a fucking heritage that guy's got.
And stories to tell.
All for days. Great fucking podcast it was. It was one of my favourites. It was really echoey because he did it in the basement of his office and it just wasn't a good room to do a fucking podcast in. But yeah, great fucking guy, great stories. And he's also got a business that's helping fucking ex-players find work in media and stuff like that. So, yeah, top fucking bloke.
Lovely stuff. So yeah, it's coming home.
Or is it coming Rome?
It's coming one of the two, isn't it? Or one of the three.
Or Copenhagen.
Or Copenhagen.
All right, nice one. Subscribe, give him a follow. See you in a bit.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.